to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio tonight by Winston Smith. And I tell you what, Winston, I am absolutely and utterly exhausted. I mean, those 2 hours were great. The first 2 hours, we had Dr. F. Roger Devlin on, Dr. Kevin MacDonald, and if a radio interview could be like a fine wine, that interview with Kevin MacDonald was it.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and it just so happens I am enjoying a glass of fine wine. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon, even as we speak. And Kevin MacDonald was—he's always a superb interview. His writing is so good, and I encourage everybody to go to his site, www.kevinmacdonald.net, and just peruse some of his writings. You will come away with not just a better understanding, but a better feeling about where we stand in this movement. His data, his writings are pure ammunition, and you should arm yourself with the very powerful and potent work that he has done. But James, the one thing that I really enjoyed about the interview was that about all of my questions, he said they were very good questions, and about yours, he didn't say that.
You could have saved that for the commercial break to bring that up. Come on now, that's important.
It wouldn't have been fun, though.
No, it wouldn't have. No, but you know, and that was actually something that I would agree with Kevin on, is that you did a superb job in crafting that interview, Winston, and excellent.
My pleasure. I thank you for giving me the opportunity for doing that interview with him. Folks, we razz James mercilessly, mainly because he deserves it, but by and large, James Edwards is a very fine man, and I am as pleased as I can be to count him as not just my friend, but as my brother. I've enjoyed such good fellowship with him, both on the air and off the air. We have had wonderful dinners together. We've gone to local orchards together. I consider James Edwards to be one of the best friends I've ever had, and I want you to think of him as your best friend as well, because he really loves his audience. He loves this show, and he has sacrificed so much to bring this show to the status that it now enjoys. And James, I might razz you. In fact, I will razz you mercilessly on this broadcast and anywhere else I can. But the fact is, brother, I love you to no end, and it's always my pleasure to share the airwaves with you.
Winston, I'm speaking from my heart now. That really touched my heart. I'm actually, for once, at a loss for words. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, of course, I know you felt that way. I certainly feel that way in return to you and towards Bill Rowland and Eddie Miller and Art Frith and all of the people here in Memphis that make this show possible. It's a familial bond that we share, and it extends to those good people at Liberty News Radio, Sam and Michael and everyone else. I mean, it is sort of like a big family because we do this at our own expense, both financially and physically and spiritually, and of course all the attacks that come through the mainstream towards us because we have been so successful and we have hosted this show for 5 years without retreat, surrender, or apology, and we've paid the price. But all of that, I guess, it's just sort of like comrades in arms. You just feel a more special, close-knit bond for the people that you've gone into battle with than you do with people that haven't shared that experience with you. But certainly, those feelings are reciprocated from me to you, Winston, and to everyone else involved with this broadcast. And what an honor it is to do this show, not only because it services so many good people, the fans out there, the audience who sends us these emails, these effusive letters in which they document their love for this show. And it is a unique show. I mean, there's just not a lot of shows out there that take the stands that we do and are willing to pay the price that we pay and are willing to entertain the guests that we've had. And praise be to God, we've been able to stand the test of time and have a lot of success, at least success in terms of we're respected by the people that we are fighting for and we're hated by the people that are fighting against us. I guess that's all you can want when you're involved in politics and in talk radio and are doing your duty. But nevertheless, I say all that to say this. Bringing the kind of message that Kevin MacDonald brought to the audience tonight, that is what we do this show for. All of the other things are not that important, in fact, trivial. What we are here to do is to educate our audience, to bring them interviews with the people that they know, the people that they should know, the luminaries of the right. And, of course, we've had a lot of interviews with very mainstream elected officials. And I say mainstream, quote, unquote, of course, elected officials, entertainers, members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you name it. This show's had them on. But it's a very special show, and I guess I'm reflective now, not only because of what you just said, but I got another birthday coming up. Of course, I was out of town last week. My wife and I went out of town for the weekend because our schedules conflicted in the days following, and the only time we were going to be able to get out of town was last weekend. I'll be turning 29 on Monday. Do you remember 29, Winston?
I certainly do.
Was it a good year for you?
Every year is a good year for Winston Smith.
Well, I'm a little bit hesitant about turning 30. I was 24. I was 24 when the cesspool started. 30 seems old, but I guess that would seem young to others,
wait,
right?
Let me tell you. if you just how can I explain it? I do things that and I surround myself with people and friends who continually challenge me and who continually encourage me, and I've heard many people say what you just said. They're expressing trepidation about turning 30. I'm approaching 50 now, and brother, your life has just begun. It's only going to get better and better and better because God is gracious to His children, and you know, we have a battle with which to occupy our swords and our minds, and brother, let me tell you, fear not the years to come. They will be kind to you. They will be good to you. And I just wish that you could be as blessed as I am. You've already taken a big step by establishing this show. And this show is a big part of my happiness. I would be a much unhappier person without being a political cesspool co-host and being able to talk every day. Anytime I want with Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Bill Rowland and you, James. But fear not, turning 30, the best is yet to come, my friend.
Well, I'll take...
Trust me on this.
I'll take your word on that. And by the way, if anyone out there wants to send a birthday present, donate to the show. We're doing work on your behalf, and we need your support. But other than that, you know, I wonder where the show will be Wednesday when I'm 50 and you're 70. I wonder if we were going to be on Clear Channel by the... Well, I don't ever want to leave Liberty News Radio, so we'll just have to build Liberty News Radio up to the point where it's the biggest network in the land. But I don't know. Where's the show in 20 years? We lasted 5 years. People didn't think we'd last 5 weeks, so here we are. It's going to be fun going forward, I'll tell you that.
Well, here's to it.
And we've grown every year. I mean, this isn't even what I intended to talk about. You just caught me off guard and moved me with your kind words at the top of the segment. And so we've just been reflecting here these last few minutes. But really, where do you go after Kevin MacDonald? Where do you go with this last hour? I guess we'll turn it over to the listening audience. Folks, if you want to call in, we'll kind of do a little open mic segment here for the next few minutes. We've got a few news items that we've plucked from the headlines that we're going to be bringing to your attention and offering a little opinion and analysis on. I know when Bill Rowland and Winston Smith were hosting the show in my stead last week, they opened up the phone lines quite a bit and received a great number of calls from our listeners around the world. So if you want to call in, 1-866-986-NEWS. That's 1-866-986-NEWS. And we would love to hear from you as we spend this third and final hour together tonight in the political cesspool. It's going to be hard to beat this show next week. Anytime you have Roger Devlin and Kevin MacDonald on, you're going to be hard-pressed for an encore. But we're going to do our damnedest to give you another good show next week. Next week's actually going to be very special, too. Saturday, June 27th live broadcast of this show. We will be broadcasting live, knock on wood. We're going to try to go remote. We're going to be broadcasting live from Jackson, Mississippi, at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 annual conference. We had Roger Devlin tonight from Pat Buchanan's American Cause Conference. He spent some time with Pat today and some of our other friends. He was letting us know how that went live from the Ritz-Carlton and Tyson's Corner. Well, next week, we are taking our show on the road, and you'll have a chance to meet us. We love doing these things about once or twice a year. The opportunity presents itself where we can host this show remotely out of the studio and in your midst. If you want to come meet me and the rest of the cesspool staff, come to Jackson, Mississippi. Be with us at the CFCC conference, and we're going to be interviewing a lot of your favorite guests live from the floor of the convention hall, people like Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance magazine, Sam Dixon, the popular attorney, Gordon Lee Baum, former Croatian diplomat, Tom Sunic, Craig Boddicker, the independent filmmaker, Merlin Miller, the director who has worked with the likes of Wilford Brimley and Arlie Ermey, and more. We'll talk more about it right after this break. Sit tight, everybody.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith, and thank you for giving out that number. That phone line is open. We'd love to hear from you. As I was mentioning just before the break, we will be live broadcasting remotely on scene in Jackson, Mississippi next week at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 conference. We're taking the show on the road, literally, and we're going to be in your midst. You've seen Hannity do it from time to time. We're going to try to really do a public relations stunt here. We're going to be broadcasting this show. I mean, Winston, I mean, people really miss out. If they're not able to sit in with us at WLRM Studios, they have no idea what this show's like, but perhaps they'll never know. But you can explain it, I guess. Yeah, you can explain it, but nevertheless, they will. Even though they're probably going to be deprived of that opportunity unless they drive all the way up to Memphis just to sit in the studio with us, they will be able to sit in for a live broadcast of the cesspool next week in Jackson. But you got to come to the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference in order to do it. And you're not only going to be able to meet me and some of the other members of the hosting and production staff of this program, you're going to meet some of your favorite guests, such as Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Gordon Baum, Tom Sunic, Craig Boddicker, Merlin Miller, and others. They are all going to be on the show next week. Can you believe it? All in the same three-hour segment. More guests than we've ever had. And we're going to be doing it with all of you around us. Just please don't assassinate us. I've probably said too much. We're going to be wearing bulletproof vests. We'll have bodyguards, of course. But anyway, no, just kidding. We won't be. Just don't shoot us, but we'll be there. But we're looking forward to it. And I was actually, in all seriousness, just talking with the leadership of the CFCC. They are generous enough not only to support this show and sponsor it, but they invite me every year to come and give a speech to the crowd there, and there's always several hundred people in attendance. In addition to the names I just mentioned, there's going to be elected members of the Mississippi legislature in attendance, state senators, state representatives. They're going to be there speaking as well. So you're going to meet some fine people. And I was just talking with the council today, and they had let me know that because of our promotion of this event on the show for the last few weeks, they have completely sold out of hotel rooms. There are some other hotels adjacent to the property that we will be meeting at, which is a five-star resort, but they are sold out. It's going to be standing room only. There are still some seats available that they're piling in there. So if you want to be a part of the biggest conservative gathering of 2009, you're going to need to be in Jackson next week. If you need more information about that, you can email me, jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Email me. I'll let you know how you can reserve a seat and come see us all and be in the midst of about 300 or 400 conservative Christians. That's what it's all about, and we're looking forward to doing that and meeting with a lot of our listeners. So it's going to be a lot of fun, Winston.
Yes, it is.
I thought you'd just passed out from all the excitement over there. But anyway, this will be obviously our last chance to promote this event before we're actually down there. So last chance, folks. This is your last chance, gang. If you haven't made reservations, if you haven't reserved a seat yet, email me. We'll let you know how to do it. And we look forward to seeing you next week in Jackson as the cesspool goes on the road. So,
well, James, I would like to say that whenever I do go out speaking to speaking engagements on behalf of the political cesspool, it's always my very great pleasure to meet our listeners and our supporters. And we really do like meeting you folks in person. It's special. We get to put We get to put some faces to the names of the emails and the people who support the show. So if you're at the CFCC conference in Jackson, make sure you come up and shake our hand, because I would really like to shake your hand and thank you for being a listener and being a supporter of the show.
Well, you know, God knows we don't get paid for our work here. That's the payment. And in fact, that's worth much more than money or gold and silver and all that other stuff, to know that we're doing good work in the minds of our listening audience. I mean, we can think that we do good work all we want, but where we really face the judge and jury is when our listeners say, you know what, I really like your show, you give me hope, you inspire, you do this, you do that, and we hear this, and we never take it for granted. But there really is nothing like it, Winston, when you're able to go out in the public and meet folks, and we're going to be doing that next week. It's what I live for. I mean, this is something we get a few occasions a year to do this, and it's always our great pleasure. So just to sum that up, June 26th and 27th, that is a Friday and a Saturday, we'll be in Jackson, and we'll be doing this show live from the hotel ballroom. We want to see you there. James Edwards at thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information. All right, all that aside, Winston, I guess, you know, we kind of had to take it easy there for a few minutes, because after Dr. Devlin and Dr. McDonald, I mean, you just got to kind of take a breath, talk about some light stuff, rib each other, you know, do a little jabbing, a little promotional talk, and I guess now we can get back on the high horse and talk about some issues. And I found a few things here. A few things just on the lighter side. I think we've covered a lot of heavy politics enough for the evening. But I saw this, Winston, and it really caught my eye. And you can read more about it at the Cesspool blog, which is just blowing up with people reading it these days. The Justice Department, this is the United States Justice Department, they are investigating an unfortunate incident involving a taco. Here's the story. And this is the truth. Obama's Justice Department recently dropped charges against the Black Panther members who were brandishing weapons at a polling place in Philadelphia in order to scare away white voters. Now, that's no big deal in Obama's eyes, but when a Hindu kid in Cincinnati eats a beef taco at school, the United States Department of Justice takes it seriously. I'm reading now from the actual article itself. The United States Justice Department is investigating an allegation that staff at the Academy of World Languages, a public magnet school in Evanston, fed a Hindu man's son a beef taco despite knowing his strict religious prohibition against beef, calling it, quote, an intentional act of religious bigotry, end quote. Ashish Gandhi of Kennedy Heights said the school clerk took his son to the cafeteria in October and force-fed him the taco. The incident occurred in the midst of a long-running dispute between Gandhi and the school over his son's education and discipline. So in order to punish him, they allegedly force-fed him a taco. I mean, that didn't even sound realistic. But anyway, in a written response to a Justice Department investigator obtained under Ohio's open records law, Cincinnati Public Schools admits the 5-year-old ate the taco but denies violating religious discrimination laws. The boy chose to eat the taco himself, said the clerk. Quote, at most, there was an error made on a single occasion for which the school's personnel and administrators have repeatedly apologized to Mr. Gandhi, end quote. So again, I guess the moral of the story is, gang, Black Panthers brandishing guns at conservative voters, hey, that ain't no big thing. A Hindu eats a taco, it's a hate crime that just won't be tolerated. This is the kind of political correctness, Winston, that is just inexcusable. And really, it does a disservice to the minorities, because when you see these very extreme double standards, I'll admit, I'm resentful for this. I resent the federal government getting in and coddling, you know, anyone, much less something like this, when there are far more serious and actual laws being violated that go completely ignored. Basically, what we have is a federal government that picks and chooses which laws to enforce based upon the tenets of political correctness.
Oh, you're absolutely right, James. There are a lot of things in this article and about this incident that we could find very interesting. For example, this is the school at which this occurred is a public magnet school. And the idea behind this is that they have a very international type of curriculum. They want lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds to attend this school. And they try to cater to all of them.
Hang on, Winston. We're going to let you talk more about it. We got to go to break first. We'll be right back, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Big girls. Welcome back to the show, everyone, and what a show it's been with Dr. Roger Devlin, Dr. Kevin McDonald being on the program this evening. Winston Smith and I are rounding out the third hour tonight with some quirky headlines from the light. Well, I say the lighter side of the news. Perhaps just it's offensive, but it's ridiculously offensive. And we're talking about that. If you've missed any of the show tonight, don't forget that our broadcast archives are available courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, and you can catch our previously aired shows anytime on demand at libertynewsradio.com or thepoliticalcesspool.org, which is, of course, our official internet headquarters. And if you live in the Memphis area, which is, of course, our home base, our flagship station, AM 1380, WLRM Radio, replays our Saturday Night Live shows every night, Monday through Friday. They love us in Memphis. They love us so much that one night just isn't enough to contain us. We're on the air six nights here. Six nights you can catch the cesspool. Of course, we're only live on Saturdays, but if you miss the Saturday show, just tune in on 1380 Monday through Friday beginning at 7 p.m. and you'll hear a rebroadcast. And that's the way we like it, Winston.
Yes, we do, James.
I still love driving around town and tuning the car radio in and hearing you and Bill and Eddie. Not me so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just you guys. Anyway, we were talking about Taco Gate. There.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
The school at which this incident occurred is called the Academy of World Language, Academy of World Languages. It's a Cincinnati public school that offers an array of foreign language classes and teaches English as a second language. So the article says, nearly half the students speak other languages, and dietary restrictions are common among the student body. Now this is an example of what happens when diversity is the rule of the day, James. I want to know why the mestizos in this school aren't mad as hell about this. Here's this uppity Hindu saying that Mexican food is insulting. And this is a hate crime when you think about it. This Hindu man asserts that the food of an entire race is not just insulting, but it's inferior. Now, we all know that you are what you eat. So therefore, this man is saying that inferior food makes inferior people, right?
There's a hate crime in here somewhere. I just got to find it. It was just, of course, you know, in order for it to be a hate crime, it has to be, the perpetrator has to be a white Christian. I mean, otherwise, it's not a hate crime. It can only be a hate crime if we've done something offensive. But
you're right.
I think if it's one minority offending another one, it's just... Well,
still, the people of Hispanic origin or the mestizos in the school, they ought to be mightily insulted by this. Here's this Hindu guy saying that their food is worthless. Their food is insulting to his group. Now, apparently, this man has a history of making such claims. He seems to do this. The article seems to imply that he does this quite a bit. There's a long-running dispute between him and the school. Maybe the Cincinnati public school system might be able to seek some relief from this man by having him declared what's known as a vexatious litigant, a guy who just keeps filing charges and keeps accusing. This man is looking to make a buck, plain and simple. But that's what diversity is about. Diversity, when it comes down to it, it's about the money. Is it not, James?
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made, but just, again, not for white Christians. But Speaking of money, you offered me an excellent segue here, Winston, into another article that I wanted to bring to the audience's attention tonight. So I'm going to take advantage of your wordage there. This is, again, another story that you would just only hear about on the political cesspool. I mean, this is the kind of story that helped give us our name. I mean, American politics really is a cesspool right now. We try to drain that cesspool for you once a week, but nevertheless, you see why our show is named what it is when we've got to cover news like this. In case you didn't know, the United States Congress is very close to finally passing a formal apology for slavery. They've even got a big ceremony planned for its signing. But now, believe it or not, the Congressional Black Caucus has thrown a monkey wrench in the works. They're opposing the apology for slavery. So you're probably asking yourself, why in the world are blacks opposing it? Because this apology for slavery contains a disclaimer that says the apology should not be construed as supporting any claim against the United States. And because of that, blacks think that it will make it harder to get reparations in the future. This story I read from now comes from Washington, D.C. itself. And I quote, the Senate, and this is just sickening, absolutely sickening that the United States Senate would even think about doing this, much less do this, and there's many reasons that it's sickening, but nevertheless, they passed a resolution last week calling on the United States to officially apologize for the enslavement and segregation of millions of African Americans and to acknowledge, quote, the fundamental injustice, brutality, and inhumanity of the Jim Crow era, end quote. The resolution, sponsored with little fanfare by Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, passed on a voice vote. It now moves to the House of Representatives, where it may meet an unlikely foe, members of the Congressional Black Caucus. Several CBC members expressed concerns about a disclaimer that I just mentioned to you. They think that it's going to make it harder for them to get reparations in the future. Congressional Black Caucus Chair Barbara Lee, a Democrat from California, said her organization is studying the language of the Harkin resolution. And other Congressional Black Congress members have read it. They don't like it either. Putting in a disclaimer takes away from the meaning of an apology, said Representative Benny Thompson. A number of us are prepared to vote against it, he went on to say. Thompson and other Black Caucus members noted that a 1988 apology that the government issued to the Japanese Americans held in U.S. camps in World War II had no disclaimer and did not prevent them from receiving compensation. In closing, Representative William Lacey Clay, a Democrat, of course, from Missouri, said, this language is unacceptable. I'm a reparations man. How else do you repair the damage? End quote. First of all, I've heard the grievances from African Americans, as Pat Buchanan said, where is the gratitude for all that this country has afforded them and everyone else, especially now where it seems as though the roles have been reversed and they are, there is no real equal opportunity. It's special privileges for the coronated minorities and equal opportunity for none. We're the discriminated against class now. But anyway, bottom line, Winston, I don't know. I guess enough's never going to be enough. There's no there is no such thing as appeasement, really.
Oh, no. The bottom line is the bottom line in the financial sense, and that's what this is about. This is about the money, as you mentioned, my segue.
Winston just passed out from the shock of the Congressional Black Congress there.
Well, James, the story mentions
And another thing about the Congressional Black Caucus. I get invited on to CNN. I get invited to do these shows. And, of course, I'm always labeled as the bad guy. I'm the bad guy because I stand up for equal opportunity for all, for special privileges for none. And I'm always typecast as the villain. Kevin McDonald was touching on it earlier in the previous segment there. But the Congressional Black Caucus, I was invited back to CNN a week ago. The segment got scrapped at the last minute, but I was going to be on to talk about segregated proms. There are still some schools in Mississippi that offer segregated proms. And these are, I think, parent-sponsored events. And I was going to be on, of course, to defend this because I truly do believe in the freedom of association and freedom of speech and the freedom for people to interact with the individuals that they choose. I don't support forced integration at the point of a bayonet. I believe that Americans ought to have the right to select, for whatever reason or for no reason at all, those whose company they'd like to keep. So I was going to be on to talk about that. Again, the segment got scrapped. But they were, of course, going to paint these schools that still have the so-called segregated proms as the villains. And I was going to bring up, well, you know, it's interesting that CNN would pick these small enclaves, these small communities to target when you have organized racism. And the Congressional Black Caucus itself, that is a true racist organization. It's a racially exclusive organization. You can only join the Congressional Black Caucus if you are a black congressman. And I know that firsthand because a liberal white Democrat from Memphis by the name of Steve Cohen tried to join the Congressional Black Caucus, and they rejected him flat on his face because he was white. So why isn't CNN targeting the Congressional Black Caucus as a racist entity? Why aren't they looking into that? Why is it always, once again, when European Americans are doing something that every other race isn't able to do? Why are we the
bad
guys? Why
isn't
the Congressional Black Caucus,
if
this isn't
fact
racism in play, why isn't the Congressional Black Caucus a racist entity?
We'll return. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, here we go again. Where do the 3 hours go when we're live on the air? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, James Edwards, Winston Smith here with you for one final segment of tonight's broadcast, and we hope you'll join us again next week on the air, if not live and in person, at the CFCC meeting in Jackson, Mississippi, the annual convention. Winston, we were talking about the Senate resolution to apologize for slavery. The Black Congressional Caucus said an apology isn't enough, by God. We want money, too. And then I was drawing an example of how, if there are indeed organized racist institutions still left in America, I couldn't think of one more prime example than the Congressional Black Caucus, because here they are throwing out a liberal Jewish Congressman, Steve Cohen, because he's not black. I mean, what's that?
That is nothing less and nothing more than sheer, unadulterated, unvarnished racism, James. You hit it correctly. 2 points I'd like to make about this resolution is this disclaimer to which the Congressional Negro Caucus makes is that this disclaimer gives them the opportunity to take the high road. This gives them the opportunity to say, yes, you know, this is not about money. This is about our honor. This is about our dignity. But when you get right down to it, for them, it's about the money. Nothing more, nothing less. It's about the money. Now, this resolution also mentions the fundamental injustice and brutality and inhumanity of slavery and Jim Crow laws. Listen, folks, the fundamental injustice of slavery is that blacks are still here. And because blacks are still here, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom endured a couple of days of horror and torture. Because they're still here, tens of thousands of white women are raped by Africans in America every year. Because they're still here, crime in major cities is rampant. Look at Detroit. Because blacks are still in Detroit, there are no major supermarket chains in Detroit. They moved away because they were tired of getting shoplifted out of existence. The fundamental injustice of slavery is that blacks are still here. And if they're going to claim, if they're going to accept money for something with which they had nothing to do, then I demand one thing in return for that money, and that is repatriation. You take the money, you go back to Africa, and you re-Africanize.
And here's the thing about it, Winston, is that you know, obviously slavery wasn't a good institution. I mean, I guess we could say a few things about that, but slavery wasn't something that was perpetrated only on Africans. I mean, certainly European peoples have been enslaved and continue to be enslaved. And this is something that, look, if you want to be honest about it, if you really want to have a mature and adult conversation about slavery, as you mentioned, there have been a lot of bad things about it that have come from it that we have to suffer. And you mentioned the Channing Christian Christopher Newsom thing. We actually have, I was mentioning CNN a moment ago, I was invited on CNN to commentate on that particular double murder and rape that happened in Knoxville. You can catch the video of that at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But, you know, by coming here, as Pat Buchanan has written, Africans were introduced to Christian salvation and were giving a greater opportunity to succeed and thrive than they have been afforded in any other country or continent on the face of the planet. America has been good to blacks. And in fact, at this point, they are better to the minorities than they are to the founding stock of this country themselves. There really isn't any equality in that. It is just what it is. It's what it is. It's preferential treatment for the minorities at our expense. And that is something, Winston, I can tell it in your voice, that causes us a great deal of distress. It's just not right. And it's not a matter of going to our sandbox and crying over what's fair and what's not fair. But there should be some sort of equal opportunity across the board, and that is not what you get with things like affirmative action and set aside and quotas and things of this nature. And this is what we oppose on this program. But again, as Buchanan said, we've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? I mean, is there really someone in the Black Congressional Caucus? We're talking about these folks have been elected to the United States Congress. Do you think that there is anyone in Africa that they would like to trade places with? Someone who didn't have to go through the slavery process? Do you think that there's anyone there that they wouldn't want to trade places with? Well, of course there's not. They are in a better position now because of this country and because of what this country has done for them than any other place on the planet. But I got to say this. I want to digress just a moment, Winston, because I've got to mention this, and I think Keith Alexander is going to talk more about it next week or in the preceding week. There is a very, very interesting race. And when I say race in this context, I'm talking about a political competition shaping up here in Memphis that I think could have some pretty big ramifications across the country. This is certainly going to be a race that I think is going to make national news, and that is the race for the Congress seat currently held by Steve Cohen. Now, we mentioned Steve Cohen. This is a Jewish liberal that was not allowed to join the Congressional Black Caucus because he's not black. Of course, that's not racism because they're the ones doing it. But anyway, he is being challenged for his congressional seat by Dr. W.W. Willie Harrington Hamilton Joe Franken Reynolds, the current mayor of Memphis. And in all the papers here, they're saying Willie Harrington should win because the 9th Congressional District should be a black-held seat because it's an all-black district. And, of course, that's not racist talk at all because of the double standards that are in play there. But I will say this, Winston, I will say this, and Keith Alexander agrees with me. He and I were talking about it over lunch a couple of days ago. We are both considering putting a Willie Harrington sign in our yard because for the self-hating liberal that is Steve Cohen to have no more pride than to not denounce the Congressional Black Caucus as a racist institution after they denied him membership, to have no more scruples than that because he would rather pander to the black voting base there than have any sense of dignity. I hope, Lord, just let me live long enough to see next November and let me see Willie Harrington mop the floor with Steve Cohen, because Steve Cohen's people are the ones that have brought forth this sort of despicable political reality where we have to suffer all of these injustices and political correctness. I mean, Winston, there's really a poetic justice type ending here for Steve Cohen if, in fact, he does lose to Willie Harrington. This is, of course, the guy that got turned down by the Congressional Black Caucus. I mean, are you with me here on this? Do you want to see Willie, the black mayor of Memphis, destroy this guy who didn't denounce the CBC as a racist institution after they did that to him? I mean, could you imagine what Steve Cohen would have been saying had there been such a thing as the Congressional White Caucus and they denied a black member, a black congressman membership? You know what he would have been saying. But he didn't say a word when the CBC rejected him. And for that reason, and for that reason alone, not to mention the fact that I disagree with everything he stands for, I want Harrington to just destroy him at the ballot box. Are you with me, Winston? Are you seeing where I'm coming from?
I see where you're coming from, but, Steve Cohen versus Willie Harrington, if the people of the 9th District are so stupid that they can't see what Willie Harrington has done to Memphis and think that they can do better for them in Congress, maybe they should get him. Because, folks, Memphis used to be a very nice place to live. The school system used to be one of the best in the country. Memphis Gas, Electric, and Light. Gas, Light, and Water was one of the jewels in the crown of Memphis. But Willie Harrington came in, and this city every year battles it out with St. Louis and Detroit for the worst places on earth to live. So if the people in the 9th District are stupid enough to want Willie Harrington, failure par excellence, to represent them, let them go ahead and display their utter stupidity and elect that man.
Well, you know, yeah, I think, Winston, actually the new results have been released. We're slightly ahead of Mogadishu for the worst place on earth to live. But nevertheless, I think Willie Harrington is a perfect representative of that district.
I mean,
as far as that goes. But listen, I mean, it's kind of like the tagline from the movie Alien versus Predator, no matter who wins, we lose type of deal. I mean, no one good's going to come out of the 9th district anyway. I mean, Steve Cohen's a joke. He's one of the most liberal, anti-Christian people up there. He's, you know, one of these guys that supports all the hate crime bills that only target Christians for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ against the sins of homosexuality, so on and so forth. I mean, this guy's, as Keith Alexander says, there's never been a liberal bandwagon that Steve Cohen didn't jump on. So he's terrible. Willie Harrington will be terrible. But just for the fact that Steve Cohen didn't come back and fight back against this Congressional Black Caucus, and he allows them to exist as a solely racially exclusive body operating in the halls of Congress, no less, as I said before, for that reason alone, you got two hardcore liberals. At least Harrington is just a two-bit hustler, just a typical corrupt politician. Steve Cohen's actually smart enough to be dangerous. So, I mean, there's a couple of reasons I want Harrington to win. But I tell you, you're going to be able to cut the racial tension with a knife during that. And believe me, I mean, Cohen thinks he's clever by not calling the CBC out on this. There ain't going to be a black in Memphis that votes for it, because they vote for their people, and we should do the same. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next week in the cesspool.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.